Bo Hess, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, KP, and thank you 103.3 and Asheville FM for this opportunity.
You bet. Would you please introduce yourself and let voters know why you're running for city council?
Absolutely. My name is Bo Hess. I am a candidate for Asheville City Council. I am a social worker, therapist, addiction specialist, law enforcement trainer, community advocate, and problem solver. I am running because I feel we need often dismissed or overlooked or unheard voices at the seat at the table of power. And I'm running to make sure that we have safety and community in our streets, that we're addressing that in a holistic manner, that we are paying our public employees a thriving salary, that we have enhanced green spaces, community spaces, and third spaces that we can go to that don't cost a lot of money, where we can connect and exchange ideas. And I'm focused on addressing affordability in housing and our mental health and addiction issue in a holistic, empathic manner that keeps the values that we all hold dear for Asheville at heart: inclusivity, equity, and justice.
You've mentioned affordable housing. Obviously, that's probably one of the biggest issues we face here in Asheville. What concrete actions would you be able to take to make housing more affordable in Asheville?
I think there are numerous things at different levels, and it's a multifactorial issue. One, we need to increase the housing stock across the spectrum, from shelters, transitional living spaces, duplexes, studios, one-bedroom workforce housing, and higher-end homes. We also need to work with our state and federal partners with different grants and programs, for example, to expand our HUD program. We can also make our HUD vouchers blind so that landlords cannot discriminate against our neighbors who have HUD vouchers. We can also make it easier for people to stay in their homes. So increasing that concrete safety net of, you know, eviction protections, making sure that tenants understand their rights, making sure that we're connecting individuals who may be facing eviction to those resources. And then let's take it one step further. Let's make sure that we're addressing equity, and let's work with our local credit unions to look at more than just credit score when applying for mortgage. Let's make sure that our neighbors understand the different loan options when buying a home, and let's have down payment assistance for when they want to take that leap. So I think working in a concerted effort with the things that the city is already doing and addressing, we can move forward and make housing more abundant and more accessible and more affordable in Asheville.
Mm-hmm. Improving housing affordability would likely make a big impact on homelessness. Other improvement opportunities exist in harm reduction and mental health services, as you mentioned. What solutions could you offer to those problems in areas of homelessness, harm reduction, mental health?
Yes. So I work in mental health and psychiatry every day. I've spent the past 10 years working on a psychiatric unit. I have a small private practice. I train our law enforcement officers, our community responders, many of our firemen and community paramedics that are out there in the streets. And so this is something that I live every day. And we can have concrete, practical solutions where we don't have to upend systems, but we can move towards things that can have a positive impact for people's lives. So, for example, being at the hospital, I can see where there are gaps in services, where maybe we need to enhance services, where we have no services, or we have an abundant amount of services. So it's working with our local nonprofit and community partners in the expertise that they already have, and maybe expanding. I know Blue Ridge Pride has done a mental health and community wellness survey this past summer. And one of the things that they decided to do was actually, from that they realize LGBTQIA folks are really struggling with mental health. So they've started a mental health community clinic that will be up and running by November. So these are the things that we can partner with and say, okay, Blue Ridge Pride is addressing this. We have ABCCM and the VRQ who's addressing veterans quarters. How can we scale up these services? How can we expand, and how can the city support that? Also, it's about having people on the ground. I think, you know, a city strike team, for example, that goes out much like our community paramedics, or much like, but maybe a little different scope where we're not being redundant, or our AFD arrest providers, you know, where we're not doing that, but we're actually doing more of the case management piece of it. If you ask a lot of our neighbors who are on the street, a lot of it is very simple fixes, like they can't gather the correct documentation to get a proper ID to get that job, to then get into that apartment, or even to get the ID to get their medications at the pharmacy. You have to have a valid ID to pick up medications at a pharmacy. And so many times at the hospital, we'll give patients a month's worth of medications. However, after that month, they don't have a way to re-get the medications. They become destabilized again. And then we see them maybe causing upset or chaos downtown. And we say, well, what is going on? Well, they need a little help getting that driver's license. Once they have their driver's license, they can keep it with their case manager at the office. And every time that they need to refill their meds, they can go to their case manager's office, grab their ID, go grab the meds, and bring it back. And we can start building that self-empowerment and resiliency from the ground up. There are, again, practical things that we can do for our neighbors, for our brothers and sisters. And I want to take this time to point out this could be any of us and all of us at any time. And so when we're looking at our neighbors that are on the streets, we really need to be holding up a mirror and saying, you know, that could be us. And what would I want someone to do or offer me?
Mm-hmm. On that theme, then, do you support the targeting of houseless people by the Asheville City Police, like the homeless camp sweeps that we've seen, or the special operations, which targeted arrests of panhandlers that we've seen over the past year?
I think that we need a robust and active social safety net. One thing that we don't have is enough shelter space. We also don't have enough shelter space for individuals who don't fit the mold, maybe who are non-binary, who are transgender, who may have active mental health or substance use issues, who may have pets, who may want to stay with their partner, or a best friend of some kind, or maybe someone who has IDD or autism. You know, these are areas where we can, again, build on capacity. And one thing that we need to be doing is treating our neighbors who are houseless and home free, struggling with mental health, struggling with addiction, in humane and empathic ways. And I think that Asheville really does that. I think this is a community that cares very deeply about the residents and about the citizens. And we see that in different things that might come up in city council. And that is one thing that I love about this city and that keeps me here, is that we do care about our neighbors and the people who are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Do you support the BID, the Business Improvement District? This is a two-part question. Why or why not? And what do you want to see when it comes to the next decisions in the BID process, which includes the governance structure, the management, the services?
Absolutely. The Business Improvement District was approved by the City Council. I think now it's up to Asheville residents and citizens to make sure that we get the right people in City Council who will hold the BID accountable and make sure that we are enacting and operating the BID according to all of our values that we as Ashevillians hold dear. So what that looks like for me is making sure that we have an inclusive and safe community in downtown where residents and citizens and tourists alike feel safe, they feel welcome, and they can navigate to different businesses. Where the right responders and professionals are responding to mental health crises and calls. One thing that I will advocate for is making sure that any ambassadors are properly trained, that aren't from out of town, that come from our community, and that are trained in crisis intervention training and in basic mental health first aid. That's one thing I've had the honor of doing the past 11 to 12 years is training our first responders in different things, but one of them is crisis intervention training, psychosis, PTSD, personality disorders. And so I think if we have a basic understanding of those things among those ambassadors and they know who to call to get the right professionals there, that is something I would like to see. And if the bid is not operating to our standards and to our values, we need to make sure we elect the right people that will be brave enough to have that conversation with the council, with our broader community, and if necessary, propose to zero out that millage rate if we are not operating it as we should. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think my background as a social worker, someone who's worked in mental health, who works with the houseless community every day, I think for that third open seat, that's where I can really enhance council, no matter who the other two people who also may win.
Mm-hmm. Since HCA acquired Mission Hospital, the quality of care has suffered to the point that it was or is in danger of losing its contract with Medicare and Medicaid. What, if anything, can the city do about the decline of this institution, which is so critical to the well-being of our community?
Yes, so the city's already joined a lawsuit along with the county regarding pricing and medical costs. I think one of the things that we can do and that I'm proud and honored to have done is stand with the Mission employees who are out there fighting for better wages, safer working conditions, and better staffing. I have been out there with the Nurses Union, proud to be endorsed by the AFL-CIO, because I am a person who puts my actions where my values are, right? I'm a person who actually has been at Mission for the past 10 years. And so I know firsthand, I've been there, you know, good half before, good half, after we've been bought out. And it is a struggle. But here's something that I will say. The corporate structure is one thing. And yes, that is something that we really need to address, getting profit out of healthcare in general. But the nurses and the techs and the pharmacists and the social workers and the doctors and all of the people who show up every day to provide care really do their best and really want to do their best for our community. But we are held back by a corporate structure that often works against us. And so I think I would say standing with the employees of Mission, listening to them, and, you know, using the power of community to move them in a more just direction.
Thank you. preliminary data indicates that so far the Merriman Avenue road diet, or conversion of a major sector of this key thoroughfare from 4 lanes to 3 lanes, allowing for enhanced bicycle and pedestrian access, reduced crashes, it increased bicycle traffic. Impact on pedestrians still a little unclear. All of this with an average increase time of no more than 14 seconds. How does this information inform your view of the upcoming major Patton Avenue reconfiguration in response to the I-26 connector?
Yes, we need safe streets, whether you are transporting yourself in a wheelchair, walking on a bike, on an electric bike, in a car, on a scooter, we need to make sure that we have safe streets. One thing that I love is I'm about, let's make a change. Let's look at the outcome. Was it did it have the intended outcome, and are there any modifications that we need to make? And this is a great example of that happening and getting back feedback loop of, hey, look, this is something that worked. It had a minimal impact on our traffic time. It had a minimal impact on the surrounding roads, Kimberly and Broadway as well. And we are moving in the right direction with building dense, diverse, and connected cities. When I think about a healthy city, I think about density. I think about the density of connection and the people, of housing, of businesses, of recreational places, of coffee houses, of bookstores, of libraries. I think about diversity of the people living there and the types of jobs and the types of things of recreation that you can do and the types of housing. And I also think about connection. How do we get to these things, right, in the most efficient manner? How do we connect our city so that within 5 minutes, in any direction, I can go to a supermarket, to a coffee shop, to a restaurant, and to a public library or a school? That is the type of communities that we can build and, quite frankly, are sustainable and that provide for a broader, connected, and I would say a healthier mental health well-being.
Mm-hmm. Sidewalks and improved bus services are things that the residents have been calling for years.
Absolutely.
How do you push those efforts forward?
I think a lot of the one is voting yes on the GO bonds in November. Those are going to be transportation, housing, parks, and public safety. So voting yes on all of those. With the transportation and with the GO bonds, we can only use these things for capital. So I think that's a start. So one, we can give the people who are riding public transportation dignity and make every single one of our bus stops covered bus stops. There's no reason why we cannot have covered bus stops with a bench like every other city, right? Number two, making sure that we're expanding our routes and building housing along our transportation corridors. And also looking at other things besides big, bulky buses on our streets. Let's look at electric cars and vans. Let's look at other ways that we can get people from point A to point B. And then I think it is about sticking with our values and putting sidewalks in every single neighborhood in Asheville and talking with the neighborhoods also about other things that they may need. Not every single neighborhood may want a bike lane going through there. So especially the legacy neighborhoods, really addressing their needs, sitting down at the table with them. And one thing about being a therapist is I love to listen. I love to talk to people. I love to get information. And, you know, a lot of times, they feel that things are being imposed onto them instead of being part of the conversation. And this is all across the board. I mean, whether it's the firefighters, whether it's the hotel association, whether it's Miss Doris over in West Asheville, you know, people feel left out of a conversation. And I think we can change that culture and make people feel more included, have a more transparent government. You know, even if we don't know things and we're still learning, let's put that on camera. That's important for the citizens to know, because guess what? They learn with us. When I'm asking questions about a situation to a person and it's out there in the open for the public, we all learn from that, right? And then they can also see how hardworking we are behind the scenes, how we are asking the hard questions, how we are attempting to learn and get every part of the information that we can so that we can make a just and right decision for the people of Asheville.
Mm-hmm. The legality or illegality of drugs certainly is not in council's purview. But if you were elected, would you consider working to put the enforcement of marijuana prohibition at its lowest priority for Asheville Police Force and allocating significant money to social services for other efforts such as employment subsidies and training to reintegrate drug war victims?
So So let's repeat that question because yeah. I want to make sure I'm understanding.
I'm wondering if you would consider putting enforcement of marijuana prohibition mm-hmm. at the lowest priority mm-hmm. for Asheville City Police.
What I understand is that cannabis is already kind of at the lowest level. In other words, I don't want to speak for anyone or any agency or, you know, they're all going to, you know, make sure that the law is followed. However, I think the priority for law enforcement is making sure that violent crime is down, making sure that fentanyl is not being trafficked into our city, making sure that methamphetamine is not being trafficked into our city. And I think those are the things that not only the police are focused on, but also the Asheville citizens really want them to focus on. Violent crime, making sure that we have those hard methamphetamine and fentanyl off the streets. I've been to plenty of shows all over Asheville and smell the fragrant smell of cannabis, and never have I seen a police officer or even a security guard, you know, come and hassle. And this is, quite frankly, actually been in any show I've ever been, really all anywhere, you know. You know, I think to put a finer point on this, you know, this is something that I've dealt with personally. You know, I was, you know, about two decades ago, was asked to get some psilocybin mushrooms for a friend, and I was working downtown at a restaurant, and had just actually happened to hear one of the kitchen guys say that he had some psilocybin mushrooms, and so I told him yes, and he actually asked me either for a half ounce of cannabis or psilocybin, but I'd heard that conversation, so I just said I could get that. Anyway, ended up getting it for him. It was a sting. It was a whole operation. Mm-hmm. Ended up being thrown into the criminal justice system, being charged with a Schedule 1 felony. Psilocybin mushrooms are Schedule 1 felony. And learning from the inside, you know, about the inequities and from the drug war, right? And, you know, I remember applying for a job as a bagger at Earth Fair shortly after this happened, and I got the job. And then right before I was to start, I got a letter in the mail saying, you know, I'm sorry, but your felony for psilocybin mushrooms is going to keep you from being a bagger at Earth Fair. And so I know firsthand what that's like to not be able to get housing, to not be able to get a job, to be living out of your car and going from couch to couch until you found a landlord or someone who gave you a chance, until I found an employer that gave me a chance, right? So I know firsthand what that's like. And what I will say is that I will work hard in any position of power that I get to make sure that everyone is given a second chance and that we are looking at that person in a holistic way. Because, and quite frankly, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you or running for counsel or a therapist if I wouldn't have had that experience. That experience is what really propelled me to go back to school and to do what I'm doing now, which is lift up voices that I feel and that have been dismissed or traditionally overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. What are your thoughts about the short-term rental restrictions and the flagrant violations of the current regulations? And do you believe that the city should act to make Airbnb accountable with regards to its refusal to provide key data to facilitate our enforcement of the regulation?
Yes. So dwellings, or, you know, the thing that I think we need to address is whole homes that are being bought by big corporations and then being used as short-term rentals. So people that are making money from this that don't even live in Asheville, who are that have some sort of management company managing these rentals and also taking those houses out of our housing supply. I think there is a better way of doing that. I also think that in a lot of ways, the city can be more aggressive for the citizens of Asheville, whether that be lobbying the state legislature for a 0.05% brew tax every time we buy a beer, or whether that is, you know, doing the things that we need to do for Asheville. So I think there are many avenues that we could go, and I think that we could do more in a lot of those areas. And I think it's about getting the right coalition, the right people into council that can work with the other council members and put things on the agenda and move us forward. I think we have been so safe. We've been so, you know, we don't want to P.O. Raleigh in a lot of ways, but there are cities in North Carolina that are doing the things that Asheville, quite frankly, could and wants to do. However, we just accept that we can't. And I, being the person I am, Hispanic, Latino, queer, I've gotten no so many times. You know, I've gotten the door slammed in my face so many times. I've gotten people hiding in the shadows of their windows until I stop knocking so many times. And you keep going. You don't give up. You know, you have an ideal in your mind, and then you bring the stakeholders together and you find collaboration and compromise towards that vision. And we can do it. But we have to have the right fighters on council.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Bo Hess, is there anything else you'd like to add or let voters know that we didn't discuss before we let you go?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. I am so happy and grateful to be in this race. No matter what happens in November, I will never stop showing up for Asheville. Thank you for all of you who are listening. I think it's very important to know who wants to represent you. And one thing I will say is I've never asked any of my patients, you know, are you a Democrat? Are you an independent? Are you a Republican? But every single day I've worked hard with very challenging issues to move towards practical solutions that have a positive impact in their life. And that is exactly what I commit to doing for Asheville. And in fact, I've proudly endorsed by Equality and C, knowing that my confirmation of lifting up dismissed voices, including our LGBTQIA brothers and sisters, is forefront of mine. I have been endorsed by the AFL-CIO, understanding that my commitment to the working class and the people who make this city run runs deep, and I will do everything I can to support them. I am proud to be endorsed by our first responders and our Asheville Firefighters Association, understanding my commitment to fighting for what is fair and just and making sure they have fair wages, good retirement, and safe working conditions. And I am proud to be endorsed by the North Carolina Sierra Club, again, my understanding my commitment to our environment and sustainability for generations to come. And I think that brings... I think that illustrates my ability to bring diverse groups of people to the table. As a social worker, that's what we do, and that is what I will do for Asheville to make sure we are solving some of these major problems and also moving us forward in a positive, progressive way. Thank you so much, KP, for this opportunity, and thank you, 103.3.
Thank you, Bo.